Hey, before listening to this episode, I recommend you listen to the previous two, Big and Small in El Salvador, part one and two. It'll make a lot more sense. Also, Maria's Indiegogo crowdfund is still open. I've extended it into October. And finally, I'd love to know what you think of filter stories. There's a link to a listener survey in this episode description. It'll take 10 minutes, and it will shape the future of the show.
This is the farm with the most awards worldwide to now.
So, I was in the car with Armando, driving through his coffee fields.
This is the farm with most, in Cup of Excellence.
We were talking about the Cup of Excellence and the fact he's placed in the top 30 so many times.
At least in the top five.
But there was something still kind of hanging in the air, which is the fact that he's never actually come first.
But he's never come first place.
Never.
Never got first
Almost
place.
Almost this time. Next time I will.
And this is kind of extraordinary because here's a man from one of the wealthiest families in El Salvador, a university degree from Texas, and coffee running in his family history for generations. And meanwhile, I heard of this other guy, this marginalized coffee producer, in the same town where Maria lives. This man from very humble beginnings has achieved something that Armando has only ever dreamed about. This episode explores this man's story and reveals what a best case scenario looks like if you are a marginalized coffee producer. And just how lucky you have to be. I'm James Harper. And this is Filter Stories. The untold stories hidden in your cup of coffee. Okay, testing. Oh, yeah, it's quite loud. Testing. So it's morning on a bright day. I close the door of my $10 a night hotel. And I walk down to find our man waiting for me in his pickup truck.
Hola.
James, otra vez.
Ignacio Gutierrez, Solis.
Ignacio starts up the car and we pull out of the driveway of the hotel.
¿Cuánto es viejo este carro?
Es 2001.
2001, okay.
As we cruise along the highway that weaves through the valley, Ignacio gives me the short story behind what happened when he entered the Cup of Excellence for the first time in 2011.
En el 2011, lugar.
In 2011, he got first place.
2012, casi no tuvimos cosecha.
In 2012, he had a small harvest, so he didn't compete.
No fuimos a competir hasta en el 13.
He competed again in 2013.
En el 13 fuimos a competir otra vez y quedamos en primer lugar siempre.
And he came first again.
Y el café se rompió récord esa vez.
The coffee auction smashed records.
El 2014 no fui a competir, hasta en el 2015 fui a competir con los Positos de San Ignacio, donde vamos.
In 2014 he didn't compete, and in 2015 he competed again. With the coffee from the farm that we're driving to.
Y quedó en primer lugar otra vez.
And he came first again.
Yo tengo tres primeros lugares. 11, 13 y 15.
Who is this man who came out of nowhere to win the most competitive coffee competition in the country three times in a row? And I'm also curious to know how this competition changed his life.
Es así, peor que aquí, es más parado.
It's getting steeper and rockier.
We've turned off the highway and are now on the dirt roads that cut across the mountains.
Oh my god.
The road ahead of us feels like it's vertical.
4x4 mode.
Doble, 4x4.
God, you need it for these roads. Bloody hell.
Some minutes later, we arrive at a small ridge.
So here we go. This is the real deal. I'm stuck. The seatbelt's stuck. There we go.
Oof. I meet Ignacio's farm workers and a neighbor who speaks some English.
Bueno, hola, me llamo James.
Hola, Manuel.
Manuel.
Ignacio's workers are hauling barrels off a pickup truck near a bodega.
It's organic spray.
Yeah, organic spray.
Claro, claro.
Ignacio shows me to the edge of the ridge.
Wow, what a view. Qué bueno.
La Palma.
From here, La Palma, the town where Maria also lives, is just a clump of grey and brown Lego bricks deep in the valley.
150. 1,150 hasta La Palma de altura. Aquí estamos a 1,400.
So it's me, Ignacio, and Manuel, you know, the English-speaking neighbor, looking out over this view. Three men, a microphone, on a coffee farm. And maybe that's why, when I ask him whether he has any children, the conversation gets a bit laddie.
¿Tienes hijos?
Tengo.
Sí, sí, sí.
Tengo nueve.
Nine kids.
Nueve.
You have 15.
Con diferente, pero con la misma.
Different woman, but the same.
Different women, but with the same, you know.
We make a joke.
I then ask, well, how many women?
¿Cuántas mujeres?
Cuatro.
Four.
Cuatro.
I ask him, well, do you have a partner right now?
Una mujer en este momento?
Sí, dos.
Dos.
Two.
Dos.
Okay.
The ice is broken, even though I feel a little uncomfortable about it.
Qué bueno. ¿Te recuerdas en los años 2011?
And I move the conversation swiftly on. And we get talking about his childhood.
Y como imagine que no fui a la escuela, pero tres meses fui a primer grado.
In terms of formal education, he only ever did the first 3 months of the first year at school.
Tres meses.
Tres meses.
De los primos años.
Sí. Un año. El primer año de clases. Tres meses.
I ask why.
¿Por qué?
La situación, nací allá.
Ignacio tells me he was born over there, as in over the mountains in Honduras.
Crecí en Honduras hasta la edad de 10 años. Allá hubo guerra aquí de Honduras. El primer año que yo estaba en clase fue el año que hubo guerra.
Ignacio grew up in Honduras until he was 10. But shortly after he entered school, he got caught on the wrong side of the war between Honduras and El Salvador in 69. This is the famous football war that escalated while the two countries were playing each other during World Cup qualifiers. It's kind of hard to believe that this man with 3 months formal schooling is able to produce coffees that Armando hasn't been able to, despite his university education in Texas and family money. So let's explore Ignacio's journey in coffee.
¿Cuántos años tienes para cuando?
I ask him when he started.
Yo trabajaba en café.
17.
17.
Toda la vida.
Sí.
About 40 years in coffee. Ignacio is now in his late 50s.
Ellos no tenían finca. Ellos, mis padres tenían vacas.
Vacas.
Y caballos.
But the thing is, his parents weren't in coffee. They had cows and horses. So for most of his life, he worked as a day laborer on other people's farms.
¿Cuánto dinero tienes?
I ask Ignacio, how much were you earning before you won at the Cup of Excellence?
Nada dinero.
Shaking your head.
Solo lo que ganaba en el fornal. $7.
Ignacio earned the minimum wage. $7 a day.
¿Cómo hace antes de la tasa?
And I wonder, well, how do you feed so many children on $7 a day?
Lo que pasa que ese es el salario mínimo. Uno siempre hace una milpa, granos básicos.
So what happens is when you have the minimum wage, you have a field, you grow the basics.
Maíz, frijol.
Corn, beans.
Lo básico. Una vaca para ordeñarla y comer cuajada, leche.
You have a cow for milk.
Así es como los $7 le alcanzan a uno para lo demás.
And $7 covers everything else.
Claro.
Solo ropa.
Clothes.
Zapatos.
Shoes.
Algún medicamento.
The odd bit of medicine.
Los $7 en la semana ya.
Now things started to change for Ignacio when he got his own farm. His father passed away in the early 2000s, and he inherited a little bit of land. It was 5 manzanas, which is about 8.5 acres. He also inherited a horse.
El Pepe.
Okay. El Pepe.
5 manzanas, el Pepe.
Y el Pepe, sí.
With this land, he slowly started planting coffee.
2001-2002 fue cuando sembré una manzana en 4 años.
It took him 4 years to plant 1 manzana with coffee. And things progressed like this, slowly, slowly. And then, as he's telling the story, you know, we fast forward to 2011. He puts his coffee for the first time to the Cup of Excellence, and he comes first place. And his coffee, when it went to auction, fetched over $50,000.
Wow, it's a big difference.
¿Cómo fue 2013?
Ah, bien, muy bien.
But things got really unbelievable in 2013 when his winning lot smashed auction records, even to this day.
$50 la libra, 50 con 10 centavos.
His coffee went for $50 per pound. The auction fetched over $90,000 for his 28 sacks of coffee. And with this money, he bought the farm that we're standing in and another car. And this new farm got him first place in 2015, earning him tens of thousands of dollars for his 18 sacks of coffee. And despite all of this, I still haven't figured out how he manages it. And so, I ask him directly.
Sí, ¿por qué tú tienes éxito en la taza y otros no?
Yo pienso que para empezar he tenido buen café.
He says, I think for starters, I had good coffee.
Y se necesita un poquito de suerte también.
And you need a little luck as well.
Sí, tener fe.
And have faith.
También.
El tío.
Sí, yo tenía fe de estar en primer lugar. Y yo se lo pedí a nuestro padre.
Ignacio literally prayed to God.
Para poder hacer dinero. Y voy a competir la primera vez a quedar en primer lugar.
A part of me feels like even Ignacio doesn't really know how he did it. Because, you know, when it comes to growing coffee, the most important thing is exceptional land, as well as working it hard, having good employees, blah, blah, blah. And this region around La Palma, where he and Maria have farms, you know, it's famous for the amazing flavors they produce. So this is one of the really rare occasions where a coffee producer with little financial support or formal business education can have financially sustainable coffee farms by growing specialty coffee. So, Ignacio and Maria, to a certain extent, have kind of won the lottery by living in the right region.
Siempre se lo quedan en los grandes.
Ah, ¿cómo se llama?
Reloj.
Now, I'm curious to know how Ignacio's life has changed.
Tienes un reloj.
Sí. One thing I notice is his shiny wristwatch.
Tiene un año que lo compré.
He bought it a year ago.
¿Cuánto?
Este lo
and it cost him $100.
Le di $100.
So he's probably not getting his hands dirty anymore. He now employs people to work on his 3 farms. Ignacio sells about a third of his coffees at very sustainable prices, $3 or more per pound. The second third of his coffees, he sells for about what it costs to produce it. And the last third, he loses money. Now, this might sound rough, but right now, most coffee growers sell all their coffees at below cost. They are losing money completely. Ignacio has also become a coffee buyer himself for a larger coffee company. He earns about $10,000 in commissions. I ask, like now, how much are you earning per day?
Bueno, hago cuentas en el año cuánto. Imagínese, hago $50,000 en el año. Si hacen la cuenta ahí, repartido en 12 meses, esos $50,000.
About $50,000 per year. A lot of which he invests back in the farm to grow it.
Sí. No, esos 50,000 tengo que invertir algo.
Ajá, ok. Invierte 10, 15.
Sí.
Ignacio's story is the best case scenario if you are a marginalized coffee producer in El Salvador. But I know there are tens of thousands of marginalized coffee producers in El Salvador who will never be as lucky as Ignacio.
Como plata.
Okay, bueno.
Terminado la.
Terminamos, sí.
Bye.
Yeah.
Ha sido un gustazo.
We wind up our interview and hop back in the car. And as we're winding our way down, I realize I haven't figured out how the farm we just visited, the third farm he bought after the record-breaking auction in 2013, this is the same farm that gave him his win in 2015. How did he manage to pick the right farm to buy? As we bump down the rocky tracks, he drops his final clue.
Y ese señor, esos que son grandes cafetaleros, a veces se sienten molestos porque yo soy el más pequeño de los competidores y siempre le gano primer lugar.
He says, these people with these big farms, they get annoyed that I get first place all the time, despite being such a small coffee producer.
¿Y qué hacer vos? Me dice, para estar en primer lugar, nada, digo, ser justo en todas las cosas, les digo yo. Tratar bien hasta los empleados, les digo yo.
And they ask me, well, how do you do it? And I say, well, you have to be fair in everything you do. Treat your employees well.
En primer lugar, se logra vender bien el café.
We arrive back at the hotel, exchange a few phone numbers, and then I say goodbye.
Muchísimas gracias para todo.
Su tiempo.
Okay, hasta suerte.
Bye.
Okay.
So thank you for listening. I have three things I'd like to tell you. First, the Indiegogo went amazingly. We hit the stretch goal. We sent a message to the coffee world. We want to support marginalized coffee producers. And it's still open. I've extended it into October. Every bean that you buy through this Indiegogo, Maria will get 5 times fair trade prices for it. That's $7 per pound. So if you want to support Maria, support Filter Stories, jump on board and taste her coffee. There's a link in the episode description. Second, I want to know what you think of Filter Stories and where to take the show. Follow the SurveyMonkey link in the episode description. It only takes 10 minutes. And thirdly, I want to let you know about the Filter Stories live show. This is a real-life enactment of the Firefly Story, episode 2, at the Berlin Coffee Festival in the wonderful Nano Cafe in Kreuzberg. I'm performing it on the 1st and 4th of October. So it'll be like an interactive story. Basically, it's going to be like me telling the story, narrating the story. We'll hear snippets of Mari coming through. There will be photos. There will be a coffee tasting at the end and beers and maybe even live music. I'm also thinking of taking the show on the road. So if you have a cafe anywhere in the world, I don't know, New York, London, tell me and we can organize to put the show on in your cafe or roastery as well. Email me at hello@filterstories.org. Dom Edgley sound mixes episode. If you need a sound mixer, go to domedgleysound.com. And the Filter Stories logo was created by Headquarters, a branding and packaging design team. You can find more of their work at headquarters.studio. Okay, until next time.